You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Paul Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome one and all to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for wrestling fans. I am broadcaster, podcaster, and all-around good guy, your Asian assassin, Al John Go, hanging out with Dr. Deathmark, the man with the glove of injustice, our wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Not good.
Oh, no. We are doing the post-show for tonight's Survivor Series, and we've done these in the past. We're doing this right now live over Blab, and I'd like to thank our viewers for checking us out during the live show. But right now, I have to say, your first reactions to the show, Mr. Stephen Anthony.
Sure. It wasn't one of the better pay-per-views of the year. It wasn't too bad. I think it was really obvious how lacking the roster is. New Day was fantastic. The tournament matches were really good, especially the Kevin Owens Ambrose match. And for Sheamus, a guy that's lost so many matches more recently, including, I believe, on this very night, you know, to win the title, I understand, you know, everything pretty much happened like we were saying it would. And they made Reigns feel like a baby face. He actually did win the belt and then lose it. But Sheamus, my God, you know, I mean, I just think he's such a terrible option because he's lost so many times. If he would have never lost since he came back, this would be just fine. But he's lost several times.
Never
lost tonight.
I was going to say, wouldn't have lost since gaining the Money in the Bank.
I mean, it seems like he's lost 5 or 6, 7, 8 times. And I just think he's going to make a very weak heel champion. He'll be just as strong as he always was, except he'll have the authority with him. That's why I kind of was pushing for Ambrose to turn heel. But you know, the roster's so depleted, you really have Ambrose and Reigns as your only two baby faces that are full time. So, I mean, boy, what a disastrous time for them. I hear Cesaro got hurt too. Did you hear that?
I did see that. I mean, do you know what's going on with that?
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, hold on. I'm going to read the Wrestling Observer because they're always right.
Okay.
Jim Ross actually said on Twitter that he was having shoulder issues that would need surgery. So that's who reported it, oddly enough, Jim Ross.
Well, how about that? So, well, all right, Jim. That sounds good. Well, I tell you, just quickly run down some of the results and give a little 2 cents regarding the show as well. Goldust, Titus O'Neil, Neville, and the Dudley Boys defeating The Miz, Bo Dallas, Stardust, and The Ascension. Traditional Turkey Day 5-on-5 Survivor Series kickoff match happened. And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, at the very end of the day, you know, you saw, you know, really what I thought was a decent match. Did you see it?
It seemed like the building was a little light, I think, because there were armed people with AK-47s literally searching people as they came into the arena. I saw some pictures.
Well, a lot of people, and we right after.
And that's fine. That's fine. You
know? Well, right after we posted our podcast, we had reports that there may be some type of, I don't want to have to say that, you know, I mean,
ISIS-related terrorist threat.
Okay, all right. You said it. And that was, I guess, a post from the V for Vendetta Guys Anonymous, the hacker group.
Yeah.
And that the WWE would be responding appropriately. And I'm glad. I'm glad that, A, they were able to continue to do the show and make sure that all the talent and patrons were safe while this was going on. So, yes, understandably so, a light crowd at the kickoff show and the return of Goldust, of all things.
Yeah, got a couple of pins, and I was actually really excited to see him. Only thing I could take from it was a little surprised Neville took a pinfall loss. More confusion. Another guy who gets decent heat and you could restructure and rebuild. It's not too late.
Right.
And anyway, it was a good opening match. And I think they did a good job of getting the crowd into it and excited to see wrestling. And, you know, I like Survivor Series style matches. I always loved the Survivor Series, especially like the one where The Undertaker won the belt from Hulk Hogan and then Ric Flair was one of the sole survivors. And it, like, that was, I think that was 91. That was a really good Survivor Series. 96 is a great one too. So I like the Survivor Series styled 5-on-5 matches. I'm glad they had two, that one. You can include it with the Survivor Series show. It's on the show.
Oh yeah.
And it was a good opener or a good pre-match.
Good pre-match. What?
Pre-show match.
Well, the opening match of the actual show happens to deal with our Shield member Roman Reigns defeating U.S. champion Alberto Del Rio to advance in the tournament. And your thoughts on that?
They had a very solid match. You know, I'm personally, you know, I can take things as they are and you know, sort of criticize them and analyze them. And I can also be a mark. I'm not a big mark for Roman Reigns' style of matches. They seem really boring to me. But that being said, I thought he had a really good match, and I think Del Rio showed probably more fire than he showed thus far. Obviously he needs to get rid of Zeb Coulter, and you know, like I said when we predicted it, I thought he would lose to Reigns, but I just think that's a bad idea. He hadn't lost yet, so he could have gotten rid of Coulter and been undefeated, but I guess wins and losses aren't a big deal for them at all. So I was a little surprised to see the finish come out of like it did. I mean, they did a nice little match. It was a very good opening match. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. But Del Rio still feels underutilized, but at the same time, a good way to open the show. The show was kind of all about Roman, so it was probably a good way to do it, you know.
Funny, we were talking about the cross armbar breaker in the last show, and of course he whips it out for this particular show tonight.
Look good.
Yeah, look good. Really good once again. And of course Reigns moving forward. And I did also think it was a good match as well. Always good to see, you know, it actually very technical. I thought the more technical than we've seen in recent days. So I'm okay with it.
He's pretty ripped right now. He almost looks like the Ultimate Warrior. I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying, he looks like the Ultimate Warrior on 89, so you might want to test his.
Wow. Okay, let's move on. We've got here, Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens in the WWE tournament semifinal as well. Ambrose, you know, getting ready for the suicide dive, and Owens went back inside the ring, rolling on the outside. Dirty Deeds pinning Owens to win.
Yeah, great match. Probably the best for me on the card. I really enjoyed it. I love Kevin Owens. He's my favorite guy in the roster now that Rollins is out for doing any sort of match rate. And he's a great heel. Right before the match, they had a promo with him and Reigns, and he looked so superior to Roman Reigns in the backstage segment. Reigns looked just kind of bored or you know, fumbling over lines and, you know, trying to think of what to say next. Owens looked a lot more relaxed. Then in the ring as a heel, he's very methodical, and he, you know, takes the time to insult the crowd, insult his opponent, and he does a lot of great maneuvers. I'm really a big fan of his. And again, I didn't want to see him take a clean loss as well, because I thought that these are their two top heels, are Del Rio and Owens and Sheamus. So why have – it's like the old days. Like, there's so few people – like, it's like 93. Like, there's so few people over. Like, you don't want anyone to take a loss. You want them to have a DQ or beat a jobber.
Yeah, well, that's the hardest part about the roster being – you know, we make excuses. I'm sorry. The roster is not thin. They have just done a poor job of building up the roster.
I
mean, when you look at the extraordinary amount of talent that they do have on the roster, they could, you know, once again, benefit by really elevating and making the mid card actually be really strong. So they need to do that. They need to continue to do that. And it is difficult when you have people like Neville, who's supposed to be, in my opinion, at the very least top of the mid card shelf, and he's sitting there getting pinned, you know,
for no reason. And it didn't help anybody. You're right. And that's why the pay-per-views are like this pay-per-view was still pretty good. It had a lot of good matches. Nothing was very, you know, inferior because they have such a good roster, but you're exactly right. They don't push people properly or book properly. So many people are in bad positions, just like Neville.
Well, so far we have, we are 2 for 2 in terms of our predictions. Moving on to number 3, and it finally filled out another traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. Ryback, the Usos, Lucha Dragons defeating New Day, Sheamus, and King Barrett. And interesting, to say the least, but once again, New Day still, New Day kind of saves the day, right?
New Day's the top of the charts. Big E's thrusting is over. The unicorn magic is over. The trombone is still somehow over because they have so many other gimmicks.
Right.
And now they showcase Woods's hair, which was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And we talk about hair a lot, and I think it's the best hair I've seen this year. It was really... in America, you know, Tanahashi still has the best hair.
Right.
But, you know, do you know he sells crackers with his image on it? I didn't know.
You didn't point that out before. No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He sells crackers.
Very nice. Very nice.
And he says a picture book. Anyway, best hair I've seen in WWE this year. Woods is fantastic. The match was okay. It was getting somewhere and then they sort of left and, basically you had just a really strange match, and you have our future champion pinned with the shell shock. Is that really happen? Did he really get pinned by Ryback? Did that happen? Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't believe it. You know, I had to reread it right here in the computer. I'm like, what? That can't have happened. I'm like, no, it was someone else. And I'm like, no, it wasn't Kalisto.
Yeah,
it wasn't Sin Cara, who pinned Barrett, by the way, which is shocking too.
Yeah, well, here it is. Barrett was eliminated by Sin Cara at 8 minutes.
Bad sign for Barrett.
Jimmy Uso was eliminated by Woods at 9:25, and then Sin Cara eliminated by Sheamus at 10:45. And then we have Ryback, Jey Uso, and Kalisto were the survivors at 17:50.
So. Yeah, they did some maneuvers on him and pinned him. So, yeah, again, no use protecting your will. I guess they just don't protect their champion anymore. They started this team with Jack Swagger. So unless you're Cena or maybe Randy Orton, they don't seem to protect his champion.
Yeah.
They're really weird. They do not listen to their audience. And I'm telling you right now, because somebody said this on Twitter, if they don't listen to their audience and they put other people over, that's what happened to the AWA, and that's what happened to WCW and NWA.
Exactly
right. They stopped listening to – that's exactly what happened.
They were pushing their own agenda and not listening to the audience. Once again, for those of you just watching on Live Blab, we do appreciate that. Don't forget, Pro Wrestling Cast is a weekly webcast. You can find it at prowrestlingcast.com. We had a recent interview with our very good friend from WCW, Thunder Announcer, Scott Hudson. We want you to check that recording out for our very special Halloween show not too long ago. We also had our thoughts on Charlotte's and Paige's promo. We also had our thoughts on Undertaker and maybe some assorted thoughts about Ronda Rousey in last week's episode. So you might want to check out all of our great podcast archive shows at ProWrestlingCast.com, as well as great deals from our affiliates Amazon and WWE, WWE Shop, WWE Network, and so much more at ProWrestlingCast.com. You see, I sound like the guys there at professional podcasts that plug stuff on a regular basis, so I apologize about that. Not really, but I do encourage everyone.
We apologize to no one for anything either of us say. I promise you.
Once again, if you're interested, that's all right. If you're interested, feel free to join us, and we'll gladly put you on our webcast and audio podcast later on. You can find this on iTunes with much more production value. So, having said that, yes, decent work on the 5-on-5, but now here we are after the champions are yelling and having fun. Audible F-bombs have been dropped during the show. We are now here with the ladies, and it seems to me like their slot was a lot better than slots in the past. I guess they just did a better job of building up this. And it's interesting, in the package, they
cut it out.
They cut out the Shock and Awe promo that Charlotte did on Monday.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny how they edited it. They made it seem like it was another comment that caused the attack, which made no sense. But I guess they figured it out. I don't understand. Charlotte booked the angle. It's not controversial. That's what they said. Charlotte the booker. She's a booker like Bill Watts and Eddie Graham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody's getting culpability for that angle.
Nobody believes that. Nobody's believed that yet.
No.
That lie.
I don't know. But, what do you believe? After we've let it kind of settle, we hash it out, and you see the match, and coincidentally, Charlotte defeated Paige in 14:10 to retain the Divas Championship. Yeah. I thought it was a good match.
I did too.
I didn't think it was bad at all.
The crowd killed the match. It was probably the third or fourth best match in the card.
Yeah.
To me, it was a pretty darn good Divas match. It was boring at spots, but that was only because of two factors. One, they were trying to pace it slow, and Paige was sort of playing that same old school heel like Owens. And the second reason, because of that happening, it looked lethargic almost in a sense because of the lack of crowd heat. So the crowd killed it, and I think they killed it on purpose to teach them a lesson, not the wrestlers, but the company. Look what that got them. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There was no heat for the match. There was no real pop for the win. Charlotte didn't even get a good pop in Atlanta, which is really surprising.
Yeah.
You know, Paige is.
Well, let's go back to Monday when they were in they were in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And she really didn't get that big of a pop coming to the ring or during her promo. And things just started to get weird from there.
They need to just, Sasha Banks is the rightful person to carry this whole situation. I think Charlotte's perhaps overrated. And I only say that because her matches with Sasha Banks are the ones we all think about. But Sasha's had matches with other people that blow people away, too. This match was good, though. I didn't have a problem with it at all. But the crowd killed it. And when a crowd kills your match, you pretty much are fighting from underneath. Mm-hmm. The ultimate example is Steve Austin against Savio Vega, WrestleMania 12. They have a really good match. And
the
crowd's dead for it. And it seems like it's not a good match. But it is good. It's just like you have to watch it close and not. The crowd's emotion plays such a big role in a match's quality.
Well,
they killed it.
When you consider that Paige is a veteran of the business, it seems to me like she could have, and she brags about it on occasion. In fact, chastising fans on occasion. So I would have thought that she would have structured the match a little bit differently, as I'm sure she was calling the match, being the ring veteran, I would think. But anyway, and I was also thinking upon this is that maybe, Stephen, you I know you're not apologetic, but did you feel that you were a little bit harsh regarding last week's show regarding the girls?
In what sense?
In the sense of maybe the verbiage.
Oh, I mean, in reference to what in particular?
In reference to maybe how Charlotte performed in terms of her promo.
I don't think she's good. No, she's just not strong in promos.
Okay.
She's just not. I'm sorry. I just don't think she's strong in promos. I don't think her heart. I think she has all the ability in the world to be just as good as Ric Flair, but I don't think she has the passion for it. And that's, to me, indicative. You know, when we see certain things happen, like matches that could make or break, or being, you know, she never wanted to be a wrestler. She's doing this for her brother. That's what made that angle so sickening. She's just a very sweet person, and she's very talented athletically. She's not just talented athletically at wrestling. She's talented at a variety of different sports that she played at a very high level collegiately. But I think if you want to be a wrestler, you are like Ric Flair, and you unfortunately become the wrestler. Charlotte is Ashley Flair, and Ashley Flair is who I see playing. And I see Ric Flair. I don't see Ric Flair. I don't see Richard Fleer. Mm-hmm. I see Ric Flair. And that's, I do think Charlotte's a little weak on promos. I think Paige is strong on promos. Mm-hmm. You know, no, I don't know. I noticed that. I felt like they wrote that because they don't think she's, they wanted some emotion from her genuinely, and that whole thing is going to bother me for a while. Yeah. They're really on a roll with me. It's pissing me off.
Well, you're not the only one.
I know.
I do believe that. You know, once again, it could have been tweaked. In terms of this particular match, I thought it was very good.
And the match was much better than anything that happened on Raw. How about that?
I agree. I mean,
and if they wouldn't have done that, they probably would have had a chance purely on the match rate itself, because that angle killed it. Not the match rate, not the work, you know. Well, I think they're pretty darn good, you know. I'm not putting them down.
Yeah, I think that the crowd was just kind of flat.
It was dead, yeah. Most of it. It got a little louder at the end, but it still was.
Well, it got a little louder when they were saying, "We want Sasha."
Well, put her in. Again, you're not listening to your crowd.
Right.
They want Sasha Banks to fight Charlotte, and they want Sasha Banks to fight, you know, probably like Becky Lynch and then eventually Bayley. That's what they want. And Paige, too. Paige is a good heel. You know, as far as the Bellas and some of those other people, a lot of people have to go. I think that's another issue. And you know what it is, dude? They're afraid to let go of them, because if you put a Dolph Ziggler and a Luke Harper and a Kalisto at Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor, you know, they're really going to be over. Right. And they're just afraid to lose anybody. And they're just holding on to everything. So pick somebody you want to roll with and roll with them. Don't just keep everybody.
Well,
because they're signing a lot of new people.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about. Don't half-ass it. Just go pedal to the metal with somebody. Strap that rocket pack on the back of that talent and let's see if they can take the ball and run with it. Otherwise, you'll never know. And then the crowd ends up being flat. They don't know how to respond. They don't know how to react. And it's due to the narrative that you're putting in front of them. They're confused, folks. They're confused. The crowd is not invested, and they don't care. So
they're not listening at all anyway. It's terrible.
No. And I guarantee you, the reason why a lot of those people were there, just like you and I, were there to see the freaking Undertaker. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So before we get into the Undertaker match, there was, I believe this is the match that was actually really good too. In my opinion, that was not bad.
Yeah.
Beating Dolph Ziggler in 640. Once again, I think you and I both called that, did we not?
Yeah, he's taking his spot. This was like the Shawn Michaels special. So basically, two internet nerds have a Shawn Michaels fest with each other, doing all of Shawn Michaels' moves.
Yes.
Some of them from 91, some of them from 96.
Yeah.
And then they put the younger Shawn Michaels ripoff over. And that's fine. You know, Tyler Breeze is, I hate the character. I think it's stupid, but he's very talented.
Yeah, too. But isn't that the narcissistic generation that we're living in right now? Is everybody's him. Internet marks, Facebook, Instagram posts. I mean, that is the world we live in, is Tyler Breeze land. And coincidentally, Zoolander 2 coming out soon. So
okay, I don't even know that. What does that mean?
Oh no, we'll talk later after the show. So
Zoolander, okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm inept with anything anymore. I don't know anything.
Yes,
I'm out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know these millennials. You know, they act like that, and it makes me angry. It makes me want to strike them.
Millennials, feel free to call in and voice your opinion. We have here now one of the very first in our headlining main events: Undertaker and Kane versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper with Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
So as we thought, Undertaker and Kane defeated Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper in 10 minutes and 20 seconds.
With a 10-minute intro. That intro was awesome. That intro was completely awesome.
It looked like the ceiling was on fire for a minute.
Well, that's tough. You know, you got these people threatening this building, supposedly, and then they probably would go in the building and be more threatened by the pyrotechnics and the things going on in there.
That's true.
They would be frightened by those. These explosives are really bad. My God, well, what are they doing?
Well, once again, not to be outdone, the Undertaker symbols were caught on fire. The big fire bombs in there. I mean, I could feel the heat from where I was standing. I was nowhere near the building, but I could still feel the heat there. A great entrance and an awesome casket floating from the ceiling that literally went through every look of the Undertaker over the past 25 years. Very great, brilliant. Great effects. And And I did like this match a lot, all things considered. I thought that at this point in the game, the pay-per-view was still very paint-by-numbers. It wasn't as filled with any twists or turns that we were hoping for, at least I was hoping for. It was still very much predictable. The end was very predictable. The beginning was very predictable. But still, we popped because it's Undertaker and Kane. So...
Well, I think it was all about the celebration. I started to get that impression as the angle went on, because the angle was structured so odd with no heat for the heels. But I think it was just a thank you to him and his 25 years of service, and the intro really told the story. And it was very much like a house show kind of vibe, just straight up 10-minute babyface win. And they basically just beat up the Wyatts and, you know, deflated more heels. But, I mean, this is what they wanted to do. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
But it came off like they wanted it to. They came up with an idea a month ago or whatever, and they pulled it off just like they wanted to. So, and the crowd loves the Undertaker. You know, they are. You know, they have always loved the Undertaker, and they always will. I love him too. You know, he's great.
Yeah. Well, here we are at the very beginning. You know, Eric Rowan just, you know, tried going in there, going cattywampus, trying to get a little hit on them before the match started. He gets choke slammed out of hell, and then all of a sudden at the very end, you know, Strowman got put through the Spanish announce table. We knew that was coming. And then here we go. Tombstone pile driver. Harper gets the hell out of the brunt of it. And Bray Wyatt rolls out of the ring. So you still are protecting the top heel to a degree. So good on that. So I appreciate that. Last but not least, here we are. Roman Reigns and Ambrose for the vacant heavyweight championship. The match was great. Once again, great work from the two. They're basically a sweaty mess. A lot of selling, at the very end, Spear, Dean Ambrose gets pinned clean in 9:05 to win the title.
9 minutes. I knew something was wrong with what was going to happen at the end early, because they went straight to finishers that they were kicking out of 6 minutes into it. And I thought, this isn't good.
This is not good.
And then he gets the pinned out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then they had 20 or 22 minutes left in the show. And I thought, here we go. Here's the angle. And I was hoping maybe they'll just turn Ambrose heel after the fact, but they decided to go with Sheamus, who had lost to Ryback via the shell shock 2 hours earlier. And that's kind of what shocked me. And I guess it's like, hey, I gotcha. You didn't see that coming, because he got pinned with the shell shock and he got pinned in the tournament the other day. It's like, well, yeah, I guess I didn't see it coming. You got me. because you've booked him to look like he's going to lose every other week. He's lost so many times to Orton. I don't know. I was just shocked. I mean, they did the end really well. I mean, it really did get Reigns babyface sympathy. Reigns did win the title finally, you know, so he has that. He did a good job of sort of crying. They did a good job with the confetti, the red, white, and blue. The crowd was very patriotic tonight. I just wanted to say I noticed.
Well, blue, white, and red too. I mean, you could also say it's for France, you know, so. I mean, a lot of stuff was going on there, and that's cool. I mean, that was very cool. It now Reigns can say that he was champion, defeating Ambrose with a spear. But as we know, there was still time left in the pay-per-view. So
way too much time.
We knew that shenanigans were going to transpire. What do you know? Triple H hits the ring and didn't want to accept the handshake. Here comes Sheamus cashing in the Money in the Bank, as I had mentioned, and I had thought this the entire time. Here comes Money in the Bank. Ugh. And then Sheamus leaves the event, Survivor Series 2015, as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And
so this is why I'm upset. So the pay-per-view was subpar for me, because, you know, basically I loved the first two matches in New Day. Then basically the heat died off. And during the women's match, and then they had the Shawn Michaels special, and then they had the Undertaker match, which was just a squash, really. Then they had a very short main event. So I'm getting kind of like, oh, this is sort of a strange pay-per-view. The reason, though, that it took me all the way is I'm thinking, okay, so now what happens tomorrow? Show opens up. Here comes Stephanie and Triple H with Sheamus. And they talk for 20 minutes about their devious plot. And ah, ha, 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 we found Sheamus. And you don't have the that's not, where do you go from there?
Nowhere.
So now you have Shane, you're going to have Sheamus all over the show squashing people, which is funny because he just wasn't. Now he all of a sudden probably will. And that's all you got. You got Del Rio who just lost. You got Owens who just lost. You got Sheamus with the title. There's no heel that's over aside from Triple H and Stephanie. Triple H, if I were him, I would go back full time. Yeah. I'd go back full time as a wrestler now, at least for 3 months.
Mm.
Why not? He's in shape.
Yeah, right. Show him how.
There's nobody out there.
Show him how it's done, Hunter, and recapture the gold for yourself. Go ahead and be champion.
That would be cute. That would be very Vern Gagne-esque, actually.
Yeah, it would be really hilarious. It's like, okay, playtime's over, Sheamus. Lay down. 1, 2, 3. Oh, by the way, Vince Russo back booking Raw.
Yeah. You know what? If they said Vince Russo was booking Raw and Sheamus just laid down and Triple H covered him and won the belt, that would actually be very interesting compared to, it's like, what the hell are they doing? It will at least be interesting for a moment or two where it's been spellbindingly boring.
Well, once again, if you know, people don't understand their history, they're doomed to repeat it. We have Ryan Hurley back again. He said he didn't see it coming either, but couldn't see it. Oh, we have a few different comments. I don't know if you saw in the chat room.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Ryan?
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, you want to feel free if you want to come in. And, you know, of course, unless you're shirtless, then, you know, you can still come in if you
want. No, come on if you're shirtless.
We have a BK Hitman 0216 says, I knew they were going to have Sheamus catch in. He's had that city, Money in the Bank too long. Yes. I think it's a push for new Reigns persona. He's going to snap. And, of course, Ryan's in here as well.
There he comes.
Joining us here.
Okay, this lacks some excitement.
Right, yeah, that's right. Hey, all right, Mr. NXT, Ryan Hurley.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
On? So what are your thoughts on the show, brother?
I thought it was a good show.
You thought it was good. Wait. There are two criteria. You remember the criteria on the show. Is it a buy or do you buy in? Or did you buy in or did you sell out?
Well, okay. So I know you guys like to talk about, you know, if you'd rewatch matches,
yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's really hard for me to go back and rewatch a match, you know, rewatch a show, rewatch individual matches. I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that necessarily fits for me in any of these, but it had its high points. What'd you guys think about the Divas match?
Good.
It was a good match without any heat. I think it would with the crowd heat would have been good. Then it would have come across better. But you know, because the crowd was so dead, we were talking about this a little bit ago. That because the crowd was so dead, like for instance, Paige making all these sort of heel mannerisms and being very loud came off kind of awkward, and it just killed him.
Yeah. The crowd was pretty weird. They were up and they were down and up and down. I don't know. They were definitely into the beginning of the show, and then the Taker match, Taker and Kane match. Obviously, they were definitely into that. And then
they like New Day. They like New Day a lot.
Oh yeah.
I think New Day.
What about the hairstyle, huh?
It's fantastic. Everybody should love be it. Talking love about it. That. I mean, it's fantastic.
One of the best. Yeah. Once again, I think superstar for best hair in 2016 would happen to go to Xavier Woods
in America.
In America, I'm sorry, Nakamura for the worldwide audience. Yeah.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh, you want Tanahashi in there?
The best hair. Nakamura's hair is just sort of strange.
Nakamura's got. Well, you don't like Nakamura's hair.
He's kind of got
the Jerry curl thing. Going.
I said Tanahashi's hair is flawless.
Oh, Tanahashi's hair. Well, Tanahashi's hair is flawless. He uses a lot of product.
Do you follow his Twitter feed? You really should because.
I just started following.
So it's Twitter, like if I, for example, guys, posted pictures of myself without my shirt on working out like 5 times a day, that's kind of like Tanahashi's Twitter feed.
Okay, well then feel to follow me at Pro Wrestling Cast. You're gonna do that.
It's like
you get to see the
or he's selling T-shirts. You know, it's like you know. Anyway, but his hair was fantastic. Yeah. Xavier is fantastic. I think the crowd lost their heat because they went to the back and they wanted him to come back out, which was why we didn't mention it. Which was a silly way to end the match, sort of.
Yeah, I don't understand what they've totally given up on the Survivor Series match itself.
Sort of. Well, they gave it more time this year than recently. I mean, they don't care about Survivor Series matches.
No, they don't.
Well, it wasn't. You know, the last time Survivor Series matches, I tuned in for Survivor Series matches when they had the brand split, SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah.
And that's where I really thought that they put a lot of stock into the Survivor Series at that point during the brand split. Other than that, it really has been kind of a secondary focus. And we all know that the Survivor Series focus was not on anything but Undertaker.
Yeah,
this was
the Undertaker show, no doubt about it.
Yeah, this was the last chance, and the announced team made it very...
they were bad tonight. They were bad tonight, too.
Well, they were bad, but they made it very obvious that I believe that this is going to be the last time you're going to see the team up between Undertaker and Kane, and then the last time that we'll probably see Undertaker at a Survivor Series. As I said, and I'll go on, you know, I've gone on record last week as saying this, but this is the last few events Undertaker's going to be doing, and I believe they're going to start writing his retirement. So what do you think about that, Ryan? Do you agree?
Are you looking at coming in for a landing at WrestleMania, and then that's going to be it?
I think he's going to do the favors for Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
I don't think he'll retire.
I think
he'll wrestle for a long time. He'll do like one match a year. I think he's helping out right now, and I think he'll do like one match a year for a while. He looked pretty good today, actually. That's the third or fourth match this year, right?
He's wrestled more in this year than he has the past 3 years.
Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Steve Austin and The Rock and Mick Foley all retired by this point. But there's something about that guy. He's a tough hombre, man.
Well, let's also talk about the big elephant in the room, the fact that Kane was there basically to provide support should Undertaker, you know, have an issue.
Yeah, that's probably true. It is kind of weird for Kane, right? Because, you know, he's the guy that's always been there. He's there, you know,
well,
every day working his butt off. And you know, he's just there to, you know.
Let me tell you.
Like, yep, let me here's my brother.
Well, you know, I think this was a tribute to Undertaker. And I think they probably asked him what he would like to do. And I think he wanted to include Kane because when The Undertaker went to do a show for Smoky Mountain Wrestling in 93, he wrestled the Unabomb, which is a stupid name, but that was Kane's name. He was the top heel in Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And he went back to Vince and he said, they got this big old dude over there I can really work with. And by the way, he's from Sevierville. Oh, wait, you live in Florida, right? I'm out of my mind. I'm sorry. Like, you would know that. Maybe you know where Sevierville is. Who knows?
He's from the Smoky Mountains, and I do believe Ryan has been to Pigeon Forge.
He's from where those cabins are in the Smokies that are really cool, okay?
He's close to Dollywood, Ryan.
And he brought him in, and he was like, this guy's a big old dude, and he's very reliable. And, you know, they gave him the Dennis gimmick that sucked and this and that, but they eventually gave him the Kane gimmick. So I think Kane owes a lot to The Undertaker, but I think it goes both ways. And I think that's his buddy, and I think he wanted him to be there too. You know, I think that had a little bit to do with it because they kind of been there a long – I mean, Kane's been there for 20 years. 20 or 21 years, you know. He's been there a while.
Isaac Yankum, BDS.
Yeah, right? A great gimmick. I mean,
unbelievable when you think about the fact that he's been around that long and just really hasn't gotten the love that, you know, probably any other wrestler that would be around for that many years.
Right, and then, you know, and he's had several title reigns, actually, at least two or three that I can remember, and he's had several, probably more main events than Sting or, you know, Mick Foley ever had, if you really thought about it, and drawn a lot of money, and he's been around forever. And you know, so to me, this night was the dedication of both of them, and I think Undertaker probably got him involved, you know. I'm guessing.
Cool. Rightfully so. Yeah. Rightfully so.
Agreed. I think it's just really fun. A great nostalgic look back at 25 years of The Undertaker. Once again, magnificent effects. The match was, I thought, was very good for what it was. And once again, everybody wants to see The Undertaker have a happy ending at this point. So, you know, I thought the event overall was good. Would I watch it again?
No way.
I don't think it's a WrestleMania type match. I don't think it's or event. I don't even think that. When was the last event that we saw that we actually said we would rewatch? I'm trying to remember the last WWE pay per view that wasn't a WrestleMania or like.
I don't think in whole pay per views. I think in matches. And one match I would rewatch is the Hell in the Cell we just saw with Taker and Lesnar. I thought that was really good. And then if I thought before that, it would probably be Cena against Owens. I thought that was really good. And I thought Cena against Rollins, I might even watch that one too. But that's about it since Mania. Yeah, not too much.
I was gonna say once again, you know, I'm looking back at the pay-per-views right now. WWE Battleground this year was not bad. SummerSlam was not bad. Even Contest of Champions or Night of Champions. Night of Champions. Night of Champions wasn't bad.
They were all okay
in comparison to this pay-per-view. This pay-per-view was just really flat, and I think once again, I think the crowd was confused. And WWE is now they have to do a good job Monday on capturing the hearts and minds of those fans that are going, what's going on? I'm not really sure. I don't know some of these people. They need to set the tone for Royal Rumble. So really,
what do you guys see going? Where do you guys see this going now with
Sheamus? I would say
Sheamus with Roman.
I think Sheamus wins, keeps it until Rumble, and then Reigns will beat him at Rumble as the babyface and move on to face maybe John Cena, actually. I think Reigns versus John Cena was something they had talked about. I don't see Sheamus making it to Mania with the belt. I just think that's really awful. Don't you think that's awful, Ryan, that Sheamus has the belt and they're going to have storylines based around that idea? Doesn't that make you upset?
So this is a theory that I've been throwing out there, right?
Okay.
Is that now Sheamus has this goofy look right now. They're saying it's because, you know, he wanted to change up his look for, you know, for wrestling when he came back from his injury. That's not what it is. He changed up his look because he is going to be portraying Rocksteady in the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
What?
So this, I believe it's scheduled to release in May. And I always said that he was going to hold on to the Money in the Bank until before the movie. That way, when he's doing press for the movie, that he could go around being the WWE World Heavyweight Champion doing press for the movie. Now at this point, though, I don't think he's going to hold it that long.
Yeah, because that would be 9 months, right? Or eight months?
Too long. That's right. Too long. Okay. Way too long for
they're going to be doing a 1.2 soon if they like.
Okay, so Sheamus has gotten, but at the same time, I do think that Sheamus has gotten a bit of a bad rep lately. I think that he still has a lot more potential. You look at when he first came in, you know, he had that spark, that difference, and I think that he's kind of gotten. Is it okay to say whitewashed?
I don't know if you can get any more white or washed. To be all honest,
yeah. To be honest, Ryan, his first title reign was even stronger because he hadn't really jobbed yet.
Right. When he came in, he was Triple H's boy, and he was just running roughshod on everyone.
Yeah, and that's when that's when this angle would have worked perfect.
Yes.
It's like, oh, it's this boy. He works out with this dude. Who's this dude? Oh, shit, he's never going to job. That's what all the smarks would think.
Well, and that's exactly what we thought, but that wasn't to be the case. Now, But once again, they screwed him up when he came back because he could have just ran roughshod if he wanted to when he came back. But instead, they made him play second fiddle heel to everyone else, including Rusev.
Yeah.
Who is not on this show?
Who they're mad at? So for getting married.
Who they're mad they're at? Evil. Or they're mad. So
they are.
Look, we don't claim to know everything. We are just having fun. I mean, I hope Rusev and Lana are doing fine.
I saw
they
look
fine,
they,
according to you. You saw them at the. You saw them recently.
They were giggling and cuddling and everything. It was It wasn't anything like the TV show, I tell you that. They were like, you know, kind of cutesy pie, kind of, you know. I'm not trying to spy on you two. Don't beat me up. This guy is huge. This guy is huge. You have no idea how big this man is until you see his shoulders.
Yes, we are based out of Nashville, Tennessee, folks, and that is where Rusev
and Don't tell them where I'm at.
Once again, folks, if you have any questions or comments about tonight's WWE Survivor Series show, feel free to join us on the live blab. Follow us via social media at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter and Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook and YouTube as well. I'd like to say hi to all of our blab viewers. Let's quickly take a look. Hey, we got BA underscore blessings here. Cornbread 3454. By the way, Cornbread, that is an awesome handle.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. So thank you guys for joining in on the show today. What up, Cornbread? I like that name, Cornbread. BK Hitman 0216 joining us as well. And we do appreciate that. And everyone mentioning us on Twitter. So really quickly, Smark, the Smark Mark post show or post Raw after an event like this, Any other thoughts on that or any thoughts on maybe where they could go?
Well, yeah,
because now it seems to me Roman Reigns is in chase mode and Dean Ambrose is going to be floating in the middle of Randy Orton land. Since Randy's gone, we know that another wrestler will be taking up purgatory in his place. So now Dean Ambrose is now going to – I feel Dean Ambrose is going to be playing a buddy film next to Roman Reigns in purgatory. What do you think? Is that correct?
Ambrose Owens, they've been playing in that for a while.
Ambrose Owens?
Yeah, it'll be good, too.
I thought for sure one of those two was going to turn tonight.
Me too.
It didn't happen.
Nope. I didn't think so. I thought they'd stay straight with the plan. This is Vince's plan.
So now that they've got Sheamus as champ, does this mean that Wade Barrett gets involved in the authority as well? I mean, that's been his boy lately.
Wade Barrett lost to Sin Cara. So I think...
I'm afraid I have some bad news.
I've got some bad news for you, Ryan. I'm afraid I got some bad news about the mid-carders, Ryan.
Hey, remember Vince, though. He, people don't remember things that happened 2 weeks ago. That's his mentality.
So. That is his...
Well, what would his role be in terms of the authority, then?
I don't know. Maybe he could be the king of the authority.
Wait, there is only one king of kings in the authority.
I know how Vince thinks, and I'll tell you what he would say. He would say, no, that's too many people from the UK in one group. That's honestly what he would say. I'm dead serious. He thinks like that. He's like, no, just one Europe guy. I know how he thinks. Yeah. He's a weird dude. He's a strange cat, bro. Until he kind of gives up, and I don't know how. You know what I was thinking about this? What could happen is this. The shareholders could get so upset with the lagging ratings. This is what we really, really, really need to think about. $250 million in TV ad revenue next year, right? That's fucking incredible. They're going to have a huge profit margin. And then they renegotiate with these ratings. And then what the fuck do they do? Now you're going to have a problem. Because if they say, we're going to slash that down to 75 or 100 or, you know, cut it in half, you got a problem. And they're headed straight for that path with this.
So I believe that Monday we may actually have a surprise return.
Brian?
It's looking like either Daniel Bryan or Y2J is going to be making a return. In my opinion, I believe they need it to help spike ratings, mm-hmm. and they also need to set the table for another high level feud, because I believe Undertaker and Kane won't be seen for another couple months at least. So.
And really, without Undertaker's angles on the recent shows, got like 2 hours out of three. I mean, you heard...
Welcome, New Day. Just put New Day in every segment leading to the first part of the hour. Just have Big E do a little cabbage patch and unicorn magic every hour on top of the hour.
I'm into them. They're hilarious. They have to be coming up with their own stuff. I kind of sensed it from the Y2J interview that they were, but I can tell. I mean, it's too creative, actually. That's why I know.
I think that Ric Flair may be showing up on Monday. I also believe that there will be a return of some big superstar, a couple of them I mentioned to you. And maybe if they get desperate enough, maybe Paul Heyman might be doing something.
Are we finally going to get Sasha going to get a chance at the Divas title?
I believe it's coming before Christmas. Christmas will come early for Sasha Banks.
I think they need to get this Paige thing behind them, and they're going to sacrifice Paige, unfortunately. They could do Sasha versus Charlotte up until WrestleMania. That would be fine with me.
Well, there is one more angle in the Divas division that has been left unanswered. Who was attacking Natalya?
Huh?
You see what I'm
what
saying?
What happened?
I don't know. Paige and
Natalya can just go all out against each other. They can have a steel cage match.
They can go wild on, what is it, Velocity main event? They could just go.
Shotgun Saturday night.
They can go wild. It's
Sunday night. Saturday night heat. Saturday morning
I
slam.
I think it's called WCW Worldwide.
Yeah, Thunder. Worldwide. Yeah, they're going to go on Jacked.
Yeah.
This week on Jacked. Let's see what other shows we can resurrect. I don't know what else. If you're watching out there, feel free to call in. Otherwise, let's go ahead and wrap up this show. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on this truncated show tonight. This is our Survivor Series post-show, live on Blab, going straight up to iTunes here and momentarily, as awesome. Well as YouTube. So that's going to be a lot of fun. This rawness, raw. On Sunday night,
raw.
So thank you, Ryan. And don't forget to check out at Fig Don Pat, follow Ryan and Turtle Power Podcast. Please do that. So thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. Good seeing you, Ryan.
You too. See you later.
Nice shirt. All right. So we appreciate that. I'm going to kick him off.
Now.
So anyway. He's such a good guy. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Blab. We do appreciate that. Typically, we have our shows come out Saturday nights, so you can join us. We talk about the entire landscape of wrestling news. We just, like I said, last week, or I say last week, but we put the show together this past Saturday. So please check out that show, our thoughts on the whole Charlotte debacle, what's going down in terms of Ring of Honor, TNA, Lucha Underground, and of course New Japan, and much more. We talk indie wrestling. We talk different feds. We just have fun. That's what we do. Steven, any other final words before we shut her down for tonight?
I read the Lucha Underground tapings, some of the shows they've taped, and it looks pretty good. I mean, the matches, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Really, and other things to look forward to, Wrestle Kingdom is coming up, Wrestle Kingdom 10. Here, we're just weeks away from that. You know, that's happening in January. And who knows what's going to go on in terms of NXT and the new signings or different sightings we've seen. Will AJ Styles be a member of the NXT brand come 2016 after Wrestle Kingdom? Who knows?
I think New Japan will really try to keep him, and I think if they try hard enough, he'll stay. But you know,
if he does stay there, he might actually retire there, because I mean, our homeboy AJ Styles looks like he might be he's not a spring chicken anymore. Folks.
I tell you what, he's the best damn wrestler in the world, just about. I mean, he's pretty damn good right now.
I agree. I don't believe he looks anything. I still think he has a lot left to contribute in the world of professional wrestling. Yeah. And the biggest stage of them all, the WWE. I believe that the WWE, even though he may not be the most mic skills guy, I do like, that's what Ryan says on our chat room. I do believe he has an opportunity there to just be himself. And
it would hard. It would be hard for me to see the best wrestler in the world have to like sit at a meeting or in room and take notes like Kana,
like Asuka
did. It's like you know. But look how much fun she is to watch. And by the way, Ryan, if you're still listening, I read the taping results of Eva Marie against Bayley, the controversial match. So can't wait to see. I won't spoil it, but can't wait to see it. Should be interesting.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching our show. Don't forget ProWrestlingCast.com, your one-stop shop for high spots, WWE Shop, and Amazon, and also archive of our shows. Please leave us those five-star reviews on iTunes and subscribe to our YouTube page. We would appreciate that as well. All once again, everything at ProWrestlingCast.com. Mr. Stephen Anthony, follow him at Dr. Deathmark. Follow me at PWrestlingCast and at Jedi Mouseketeer. And until next time, folks, don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
No more Eva.
No more Eva. Nick Bockwinkel.
Four.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
You know, the best segment that you said was Matt Hardy brand. And I said, what was it? This particular episode brought to you by Matt Hardy brand. Look for all of your Impact Wrestling videos on Matt Hardy brand's Twitter page.
What if one, it just seems funny to me with TNA that like they have all these taped matches. So like, why not just use other federations taped
matches? It's the best, dude. Last week you were saying Andre the Giant and freaking Hulk Hogan from the Pontiac Silver Dome.
And they're gonna have Randy Savage versus Ric Flair.
Yeah,
you know, or you're gonna have.
Do that. We'll just start our own Fed and splice together footage from other different matches like Botchamania.
Yeah, but what's the difference, you know, really? What's the difference? You know, they have people in the tournament that are long gone. That's what's funny about it. Like you do like Atsushi Onita versus Mr. Pogo, and they would advance to the winner of, you know, Tigre Uno and Zima Ion, you know. That's pretty much how silly that whole thing is. I think Matt's a really strange guy though. I like him a lot. You know. he's such a wacky dude, man.
He really is. He's creative.
Have you met him?
You know what? I met Matt and Jeff and had them sign my WWE program back in. Oh, they were in SmackDown. I was backstage at a SmackDown. I used to. If you're still watching this bonus content, that's cool because I used to work for a Nashville local rock alternative rock station, so I got tickets to events all the time. So I went backstage. I met Matt and Jeff Hardy. Met Funaki. And who else did I meet?
Wow.
And I think I'd met someone else. I think it was Ernie Miller. I met him again, and he was actually. You remember when he came back for like a brief moment?
Yeah, I do.
He was like the commissioner for SmackDown for like a cup of coffee.
Was that 2003 or 2 or 4?
Yeah, something like that. And so that was kind of cool. I'd met a few wrestlers during live events, but I had met the Cat a couple times before, and Diamond Dallas Page. I'd met, of course. You heard my. Me talk about Eddie Guerrero on a couple shows back.
Yeah.
And I'm mistaken that it wasn't a WCW show. It was actually a WWE show because I did see Albert with them and all that. So this is when the Radicals are actually floated on over already.
That was probably 2000 and you saw that, right?
Yeah. You're exactly right.
I kind of listened to that again and thought, but you know, I figured that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. We just riff here. You know, sometimes I get mixed up. But I had met a few of those wrestlers, which was cool. So I bonus content. Hello, this is just extra stuff. Steve and I are just riffing. So, well, anyway, I think we should just go ahead and hang it up. But anyway, thanks for tuning in, and we do appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you guys next time. Bye, bye, Steve.
The Sheamus era has begun.
Unfortunately, take care, buddy. We'll see you. Bye, guys. All right, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out MagicalJourneysVacations.com for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today. crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?